Blog Talk Radio.
Out here in the perimeter, there are no stars. Out here, we is stone, the immaculate.
Now listen to this, I'll tell you about the heartache. I'll tell you about the heartache and the loss of God. I'll tell you about the hopeless night, the meager food from gold for God. I'll tell you about the maiden with wrought iron soul.
Yeah, here's a little opening song to sum up my mood.
A long December, and there's reason to believe maybe this year will be better than last. I can't remember the last thing that you said as you were leaving, but the days go by so fast that it's one more day up in the canyon. Smell of hospitals in winter, and the feeling that it's all a lot of oysters, but no pearls.
There are no pearls, my friend.
All at once, look across the crowded room, see the way that light attaches to a girl.
All right, and with that, welcome to a holiday. As a holiday reflective edition of Soma Time, I'm your host, Stumbling, Bumbling, Rumbling, Dr. Mark, and the number to call to participate, always, 646-478-4847, that's 646-4847. So tonight, you know, we really don't have a lot to lead into, but we have a lot to look back on as we take a little bit of a respite from our interview pace, and we've been going at a breakneck pace, and we're still going to get our bookend interview with NSM Doc from Sacromaniac on YouTube. I'll let you know when that's going to happen. We tried to get him in last Friday, and he couldn't make it, so we'll get a hold of you guys when that's going to happen between now and New Year's. Definitely sometime between now and next Wednesday, we'll pop him on for, you know, whether it's an hour, 45 minutes, whatever it is, to just kind of put a little bit of a close parenthesis on the Copenhagen Summit and look forward to next year to see what's going to happen next on that front. But tonight, we're going a little bit, forward into the past to look back at the first half of 2009 here on Summertime. And, kind of running side saddle to that is the culture. We are the culture vulture. And look at what happened the first half of this year from our unique SomaScope point of view. You know, I always think I'm going to get more time than I do doing this, preparing for the shoe. I wanted to kind of like, you know, we've been hammering this swine flu for so long, I'm sick of it. So I was looking around for, I want to get a little typewriter thing to do the Soma News, you know. So I couldn't find one in time because I'm a busy man. Yes, the day job, if you want to know more about what I do, and I know thousands of you out there do, you can go over to somaspace.org, and that tells you all the things that I'm up to. But here on the show, it's sort of a break for both of us. We get to kind of push back all the BS and all the social roles we play all week long and just kind of look at what's going on out there and what's getting on your nerves, what ideas are capturing your attention. I know this Avatar movie's out. They now, just looking over the things here on Yahoo, that there's hidden messages in it. I mean, again, we're dealing with three-dimensional or more information now. It's not enough. When you communicate mostly through pictures, and most of the language these days, because of the fact that we're multicultural, is communicated through imagery. And there's a lot of, elasticity when you just deal with image, because it matters what, where you put your eyes, as the Sesame Street song would say. So I want to take a look back at the first half of this year from the perspective of sitting here every Wednesday night with you guys and what really went on. Because the first part of the year, if you can remember as far back as January, Twitter and Facebook were active, but they were nowhere near the dominance that they are now in the culture. They were growing. They had their audience, just like MySpace had its audience. But social media as a whole was still what the cool kids did. It wasn't what the mainstream, wasn't what grandma did. It wasn't out there like that. And because of the evolution of that in the first 3 months of 2009, there was a lot of changes in the way that mainstream media dealt with social media and the way social media reacted and actually started to accommodate a lot of the conventional tenets of mainstream media. They became a little political. They became a little bit more oriented towards, you know, the middle of the bell curve. And, you know, here we are now, sitting here now, you know, 9 months later, you know, Labor Day, and both of those platforms have evolved, and new ones have risen up from the ethers. And now it's just almost like, at this point now, if you're not active on social media, you're behind the ball. You're behind the eight ball, and you're trailing the system rather than being a trendsetter, which you would have been less than a year ago. So I wanted to look at that and how, you know, some of our guests that came on first part of the year, you know, got involved with that and used social media and use the interconnectivity that's been growing on the web to leverage their ideas and get their information out to more people. You know, so, you know, we'll get into that a little bit tonight, definitely, because I want to emphasize that from an exosomatic standpoint. And I'll give you a little background on what exosomatic means in a minute. But first things first. Hold on 1 second here. Feliz Navidad over there. There you go. All right. I was just saying hi to my friend here that comes by. Yep, we'll see you soon. And it's happy hour here in Soma Space in Larchmont. So, again, just to go backwards and kind of start over where we want the show to go tonight, a lot of the ideas that were presented the first 3 months of the year were weaving in between new media and old media. And I'll give you a list of some of the guests here in a minute that came on the air the beginning part of the year. And you could just see, we went from dot-com people that had books, to people that were involved in promoting these types of things. And, you know, it's something that, you know, I'll look back a year or two from now and say, wow, this is where the rubber meets the road. This is where the old system sort of grudgingly gave way to the new system. And the new system, you know, like any new system, is going to have its bugs. It's going to have its fits and starts. And Twitter and Facebook definitely had that, and there was some things that came up during the year that are examples of that, so we'll get into that a little bit. But I guess I'll just start out here quick with just a guest list that we had. Now, we started the year, back in January, actually on January 1st, doing a year review from 2008, and then we started to get into some body language myths in the second show, and that led into our show with Catherine Van Winter on January 14th. And, you know, as you know, she has the shrink.com site that deals with, again, self-regulation and using the physical body as the vehicle for therapy, not necessarily looking at it just from a mental standpoint. So that was a crossover show. Again, this is a dot-com site. Then we went and somacasted the show Lie to Me on January 21st, and plenty of you archived that. We were doing a real-time evaluation of this body language phenomenon that I've always kind of harped on as sort of a starting point. When you adopt a somatic viewpoint and a paradigm, you don't look at body language from the outside. Because if person X puts their hands on their hips, it means something, and if person Y puts their hands on their hips, it means something else. Everything is about context. What happens in psychology and a lot of these models is they only look at the person in a vacuum. They look at them, you know, you're introverted. And I always say where, when, with who, and that stuff got thrown out. Somatics incorporates the context that you do these things in because you're communicating to and from. It's not just a broadcast like they think in most of the body language literature you see out there. So this show, Lie to Me, which I think is going to be picked up, really focused on the subtle physiology and a lot of the facial gestures people do that they don't even realize they're doing, these uses, sort of like a choreography of facial expression that this guy's come up with, and you've seen his work before. He's in the book Blink, names that come to mind, but the show's based on his work. And it's all about emotion. It's all about communicating emotion. And there's basic emotions you communicate, like disgust and fear, things like that. So we went to that. Then we took a little walk on the woo side, and we had William Whitman on, who also did our morning woo back in the fall, talking about the fall season. And he came on and talked about the relationship between not so much mind and body, but body and soul. So we got a little into the spiritual part of the woo and into the abstracts of that and as it relates to nature. So in 1 month's time, we went from hardcore, straight out conventional body language myths to a .com site to simulcasting or somacasting a new TV show or mainstream on network television, and then way out west to a woo bird out there, William Whitman, to talk about how this relates to what he does in his body and soul mentoring program. So just taking a snapshot of January, this is before the big wave hit, in the winter, early in the spring, when Twitter and Facebook really started to get traction. And again, all these social media things were gaining momentum, but we're tracking these two as a way to tag that first part of the year. And again, I'm trying to paint a little bit of a picture. I'll give you the background in a minute about what an exosomatic a tone is and how you can recognize it in your life. And when it takes over, when it establishes something new, it is like when we went from network TV to cable, and then all the things that came after that. It's a technological upgrade, and that's what we're looking at here. We went through this year. The social media actually outpaced the mainstream media, and the evidence of that, as you could see, is Pepsi's not doing any TV commercials this year for the Super Bowl. All their money's going to the internet. So we've crossed over, and now it's going to become a game of how much of the old media is going to upload into the new media and influence it. And how much of the new media is going to be able to operate independent of that and create a different way of communicating, different way of getting messages across, which is going to affect everyone's life. Everyone's life is going to be affected by this. Just like every time we've upgraded anything else, whether it be telephones, radio, TV, it changes the way we communicate, it changes the way we behave, and we as humans have to be able to adapt to the technology, and that's the whole point of that first part of the year was, and every first part of the year, by the way, the winter, is about going back and R&D, going back and finding out and being much more introspective as a culture, saying what can we use, what tools can we come up with to better understand ourselves and other people and get ideas across quicker, faster, easier, more accurately, all that. A lot of stuff came up. Replay in baseball came up throughout the year. We got into the fall, using technology to be more precise and to appeal to it almost as an independent eye. An objective eye, which is completely exo, so we'll get into that. February, we had a couple authors on. We had Robbie Wolliver, who wrote the book Alphabet Kids, all about the 70-odd neurobehavioral disorders that all jumbled together. He had an interesting perspective. He says, get as many diagnoses as possible because that's the game. The game is to beat the bureaucracy. So don't get worried if your kid gets labeled with ADD. Make sure he gets four or five other labels so he'll get all the services he needs because you have to cobble together through all that noise and be able to get the things you need to get your kid help. And he, as an educator or someone who raised a daughter in that system, gave you a great handbook for that in that Alphabet Kids book. We had Philomena Ledezzi, if I can say her name right, who was from About.com, another woo, all right, that got into things, with her work. Dealing with emotion, dealing with her spiral stuff, and it was, it was an interesting interview for me. It was like, what is this? We go from a conventional, a newspaper man, basically, Long Island Press, Robbie, to another .com person who was, at the time, basically just sitting in her home and being able to communicate about all these spiritual things to this wide audience that she never sees face-to-face. Opposite poles, again, we're oscillating at that point. Then we had Neil Patel on, who's a big-time dot-com guy who's had several dot-com businesses, a young kid in his 20s, and understands the nature of the way the business is changing and is applying it and has been thriving in it for quite a number of years now. So then we went back to the other side. We had Arlene Taylor on, who's an old-school educator and talks about brain development and brain design. again, that oscillation was still there. So you could see how we're booking the guests and how the culture's changing at the same time. So I'm looking at this as sort of a mirror as the way we went through things. By the time we get to March, now things are starting to happen. If you start remembering, you know, this is, you know, late winter, early spring was when all the uprising started in the Iranian elections, and there's a lot of things going on in the culture that the new media was becoming the primary source. And as we see, you know, reflected now, fast forward to now, we talked about it last week. We're now a TMZ culture. We're not a YouTube culture. We're not a culture that's just operating on MySpace and all these other things. TMZ, the gossip news, is now spreading over to sports with the Tiger Woods case. So they're going to start a whole new site for TMZ Sports now. And they're going to be, you know, doing the same thing they did for entertainment and music and things like that. So it's a two-way street. The new media is it's taking what used to be tabloid, what used to be rumor, what used to be, you know, sort of not respected by the mainstream, and now it's outpacing them, and they're shutting newspapers down because of that. It's too fast. The information gets out too fast. And the thing is that what was rumor or what was speculation is now then propagated as fact and then confirmed later, where it used to be, have your sources and da-da-da-da, go through the filter. Now it's just about, you can just put a tweet out there, and people will confirm it almost immediately. So it's all about scooping the stories, and it's created a lot of competition in the stodgy old world to say, well, we've got to break our conventions here, break our rules here. This is just what happens when the exosomatic realm begins to just tear down the culture from the inside out and break those old walls down, break those traditions down, and new things come up. You know, so there's that. We're at that cusp here where as you start March, and I'm looking at the guests. It's the same pattern. We had Martha Eddy on, okay, big-time somatics teacher, grounded, in the earth. All these things operate around him, and she was nice enough, actually, to give us some things to go on. She answered my questions, unlike the other SAPES that I emailed this morning from the first half of the year. So give her some props here. Now, if you don't remember, Martha's show, she's someone who's a somatic educator who really, really understands that it isn't enough to do the exercises. It isn't enough to breathe and do all that stuff. That's great. That's nice. But she would always say, somatics for what? And she's someone who's been very steeped in the educational realm to understand that there's a role that somatics plays in learning that's informal, that's body-based, that needs to be respected just as much as all the academic and cognitive stuff. So, you know, what I asked her here was she's someone that, you know, if you can just focus on what her message was for a minute, is that all these platforms that came up, her answer to that was how she connected to her audience. It got her discussing whether trainings are worth paying for or just use as web resources. Some say the practice community is the key. So far, being tagged has been uncomfortable, potentially abusive. So she's looking at it as again, this is a cultural thing. The issues of privacy, the issues of individuality, they came up too. Because remember when Google, you know, kind of took over Facebook and everyone got to put their name after their Facebook homepage. And now, instead of just like what happened with AOL and you know, another guest that came on later in the season, Douglas Rushkoff, he talked about it as this is the same thing that was the death of AOL. When AOL was thriving, the people thought that was the internet, and once they became a gateway or an ISP, people just used AOL to just step into the big web, and all of a sudden AOL became less significant. So it became basically a point of origin, a point of departure rather than a point of arrival. Same things happen with Facebook, where now the Facebook pages, because they're accessible through your Gmail and they're all networked into Google, it's now used basically as a way to sort of function as your web browser in a way, or as a platform that you can communicate to and from the web right through your Facebook homepage, because you can put your name on it and it becomes you. It becomes an instant website, really, an instant social media website, rather than having to build a separate one to promote your business, things like that. Everything is basically linked through this one sort of hub-and-spoke model. That's what happened to Facebook back in the spring as Twitter was rising up with the Iranian election. So, you know, Martha's right that, you know, are trainings worth paying for? or do you just use them for web resources? And then some say that the practice community is the key, the ground community is the key. So this is her basically saying she's on that bridge. And then the third question I asked her was about this Michael Jackson coverage, which we're going to get into a little bit in the second half of the show here, is that, you know, when you think about the first half, the technology was moving from old to new, and then at the late part of June there, Michael Jackson dies, TMZ rises up. I mean, talk about, you know, seizing an opportunity. And an entire generation of fans, maybe two generations of fans, have now multiple ways of mourning for this man and investigating his death and all picking through every dimension of what happened here. You know, what happened with the doctor, all these different angles came up. And her deal, Martha's deal with it was that, you know, how did she use that event to highlight the value of her work? And what she really got out of it was that, what was Michael to her? He was a somatic star. And, you know, all the things he did, dance, music, all that stuff, was all about the fact that he had an unbelievable amount of kinesthetic awareness, right? So it's almost like saying he had, you know, a high body IQ, which we got into later in the year with Steve Siskel, and a lot of kinesthetic awareness. He had a superior intelligence in that, and that's what people reward this culture, no matter what it is, okay, whether it's just, you know, math and science or whether it's, you know, something like dance and art, things like that. And that makes him different than us, and we notice that. We notice the people that have a high degree of talent in any one of these arenas, and that's one of the things that no matter what happened to him, same thing with Tiger Woods right now, no matter what happened to him in other parts of his life, you know, everything collapsed around him several times in the last 20 years of his life. It was always about what he put out that separated him, that made him distinct in the first part of his life. So that's what Martha was giving us there to go on that. And looking at it from a somatic standpoint was, when you have a high level of coherence like that, and you're able to express yourself that way, you know, you're going to get noticed no matter what field you're in. And this goes through every layer, and that's what she was looking at with him. So that's the beginning of March. Then we had Heather picking on, okay? Now, Heather's stuff got into something that I can't stand sometimes, which is the secret stuff. But her consciousness stuff and all the story, and she came on, she was very, very, very forthright about her story and things that happened to her and championing women. And she ended up leading several webinars over the course of the year based on her book that she self-published, she put out, she got promoted through social media, is a perfect example. Going from Martha to Heather, within a span of a week, we went from someone who's, you know, looking for community on the ground and looking at the web more as resources and sort of ways to kind of digitally promote what she's doing on the ground, but I don't know if these workshops are really worth it. She's questioning things, where Heather's saying, I'm going to take the bull by the horns here, I'm going to promote my work, and I'm going to get my book out there, and I'm going to spread the message on the web, and I'm going to attract all these women that are leading the movement through social media mostly to be entrepreneurs and to be successful in life and overcome some of the old cultural obstacles that are fading away. You know, so there's two guests right there. Then took a little vacation with Joe Cordonnier talking about Generation X. Now, here's a classic example of a guy that understands one foot in one world, one foot in the other, because he comes from Generation X, which has gone through so many changes in its lifespan. And his book really talks about how that generation has taken a lot of the heavy lifting role and been the Brahma bull and been the sort of the beast of burden for a lot of the generations that preceded and come behind it. Generation X carries the ball, and he talks about X saves the world. This book is great. We had a good time with the interview. But there's another guy who had a transition from, you know, he's music review guy in Details Magazine, all the things he did, promoting the book, all the stuff that he talked about, all the inside stuff about being transitioning to being an author in this age. It was a great interview. I hope you guys can go back and look at that from March 18th. And then we had Joe Rubino on, Self-Esteem Boy, who I think he gave his background story about quitting dentistry to teach people about self-esteem. So there's a little you know, kind of a tangent. And his stuff, you know, gets into, you know, how we behave in our persona and how we internalize events and all the some of the motivational stuff in the 80s repackaged and put on the web. And he's a guy that was, you know, offering a lot of stuff to us, you know, through his website and through his emails and things like that. He's a big-time entrepreneur using the social media stuff again. So those are the basic guests from the first part of the year. And I want to give you a little bit about what we're talking about in terms of the exosomatic part that I want you to understand, that these are the themes. Every year we come up against these this part of the year, that first part of the year, we're kind of planning. It's almost like, you know, if you think about it from a farming standpoint, you know, it's cold, there's nothing out there. You're just basically, you know, you're planning. You're saying, what am I gonna grow this year? What ideas are gonna grow? Well, the seeds that were planted in the culture with social media is gonna now outpace the old media, and by doing that, it's gonna raise and lower a lot of ideas that normally wouldn't travel very far on the ground by themselves. And all of a sudden, now you can write a book, and you can spread it this way, and you can have a webinar, and you could spread, you could network with people that come from your audience very quickly. And like I said, political stuff happens, things like that. The exosomatic viewpoint is the 4-year-old brain as it propagates through the culture. And what that 4-year-old brain is able to do is plan and remember events. It can lie to itself. So a lot of the misinformation on the web comes from the exosomatic perspective. It basically does not deal with feelings. It deals with moving data around, being able to package information, being able to move ideas from their sort of infancy all the way up through to the point where they become so literate and so obvious that they reframe the culture. Every catchphrase that comes across and spreads like wildfire through the culture has an exosomatic tone. It's universal. It's utopian. It has no solicitude. It almost seems foreign or alien in its tone because it comes from your culture. It comes from over your culture. It's sort of metaculture to you. And that's why when these things happen, when these technological things, you know, rise up and replace stuff, there's a disorientation that goes on. And usually there's a lot of, you know, heat around where it's needed most. That's why you saw the Iranian elections and a lot of stuff that happened in the early part of the year, especially with Obama's administration using the web to communicate big fish ideas about the economy and things like that, constantly social media. So the exosomatic thing lays the template down. It's the bottom of the wave. It's sort of the valley, all right? And this is going to be our new foundation. And then we start rising, and that's what we do when we shift from the exosomatic perspective to the philosomatic. And all that happens is we go from impersonal, sort of structural and very sort of outside us and kind of, you know, almost to the point where it becomes sort of like the maze that we walk through, okay? This is the buildings, this is the structure, to the people. We go back to people. We go back to interpersonal. We go back to relating to people again. So now we go, you know, through a different doorway, and we have a whole different perspective on what just happened. All right, so you take all that social media. Well, what does all that social media do? It just gives more of us on the ground, more ways to communicate with each other, and boy, did we. All right, and that's why you see the explosion that happened in the spring, because that's when those ideas are going to propagate through the culture. And again, I'm trying to give you a little bit of a biological explanation here, why society changes at the pace it changes, when those changes are going to stick more, when they're going to kind of bounce off and not stick as much. And if you understand the way the nature of these four domains work, and again, to give you sort of a primer on it, you can go over to the website and click on the book there at somaspace.org. It gives you the whole perspective on it. And you start understanding, well, this is extremely cyclical. Well, yeah, and there's a rhythm to it, too. And once you notice it, you can kind of see things coming. You can kind of see how, okay, there's a new technological thing. We either resist it or support it. People will spread the idea. People will spread the idea. Groups will form around it, right? And then there'll be an authority that comes out of that, that's an expert in this, like Neil Patel, someone like that, or, you know, Seth Godin, somebody else. Will say, oh, this is the direction we're going. And once the authority comes, you know, on the interpersonal side, now that's peaked out. And our authority for it had always been, through the culture, through eons, you know, had always been, you know, through pop culture. And Michael Jackson served as that. All right. Well, Michael Jackson himself was from the perspective that we're just talking about. He was an interpersonal wired guy. That was the way he was. Everything was about relationships with him. everything was a bad relationship with him, which is why there was so much going on when he passed away. So much emotion came on, so much it flooded. And remember, Farrah Fawcett died same day. She was another one from that same perspective that followed interpersonal. People had a very deep, a bond with these people. You know, it was traumatic for a lot of people. Now, I'll play a clip I got on my site. If you could go and join up for us here on Soma Space, I'm gonna click over here and get it. That I found on YouTube about in July when they were hanging outside of Michael's place and mourning him. I'm just gonna play a little bit, and this is the culture. This is TMZ, you know, exposing a lot of things about Michael's, the stuff with the doctor and kind of dragging him through the mud, before the memorial. And I'll just get this over here. And you can go join my new web letter every week. It's called A Vital Interest, OVI. Go to the homepage and click through and sign up, and you'll get that every Sunday. A little bit of a synopsis of what's going on in the world. So here's a clip of Michael Jackson fans bashing TMZ that demonstrates a lot of the stuff we're just talking about, the relationship between the impersonal, technological upgrade we went through, and then the interpersonal messages that travel through it and how they reacted. Let's see if we can get this to play.
Ali setback! Ali setback! Ali setback!
There you go. Tremendous.
Ali setback!
Could you please?
And TMZ. The ongoing show. Respect.
Stop it. Right, here we go.
Harvey Levin. So what would you tell Harvey if he came here?
I'd cuss him out.
You would.
So I hope he doesn't show up. You know what, TMZ? They make up a lot of stuff.
They do.
That Harvey guy, you watch him. You watch him.
I think it's crazy. I think they need to let him rest and give him time to really know what's happening.
Give the family space.
Whatever they're doing is just ignorance, you know.
So what would you tell Harvey Levin if he was here?
You don't want to know. You know what? Let me tell you something. I've watched TMZ like two or three times, right? Do you ever notice he always has something to drink? There you go.
What do you think's in that drink?
Yeah. Vodka, tequila,
and then Coke.
No, and
roofies.
He's got a big ego. He's not Paris Hilton, but he acts like it. And you know what? If you meet him, you tell him that. He's like a...
All right, I can't stand it anymore. I'm just saying. This is what happened. You point a camera at people. This is what you're going to get over and over again. I actually just came from another Buffalo Wild Wings rant. And maybe I'll post that on my Facebook page. You can see me performing last week. And this week, we got to meet Dwight Gooden over there. And my daughter was there. Got me an autograph. Got me a picture with him. It was great. And it was a real lesson in the difference between people that are wired like exos that don't have a lot of interiority, that don't have a lot of need to bond with people, and philos who completely focus their entire existence on the quality of their bonds with other people. Majority of people are, not propriety, what was the word I was looking for there? Preponderance? Whatever. Hippopotamus, whatever. We're looking, they just wanted to be around them. They just wanted to have that handshake with them. And it was that vibe was in the room, And him as an exo standing there very stodgy, kind of like not disengaged completely, but not real animated. Just not a lot of social skills, not a lot of really like need to bond. Just kind of like, okay, cool, I'm here, I see you, what else do you want from me? And he was very cordial, very nice. But it was funny how you could sense the difference in the way these people, the different people were wired, just standing still watching it all as it passed by. We basically were there for about 40 minutes. It was like, chaos basically. So jack that up to 1,000-fold, 1,000-fold, what would happen with Michael? Because this is a loss that people wanted explanations. They wanted to know what happened. The digging started. And TMZ, as they mentioned, this is when TMZ took the technological leap over the social media platforms and began to scoop. And around the same time, we had the Aaron Andrews thing with the peeping into the window. And I'm telling you, there was a zillion of these events all year, and they're very, very, very explainable when you understand the nature of the beast of these domains, because it constantly goes through that cycle. It starts out in a valley, things rise up, they peak, and then they fall. And we got to this point, we're only going to the up to the point we get to the peak tonight. But look at the guests. Look how it changed. Okay, so here we are in April. Now I get Steve Levin on. That's a show I did out in Denver when I was out at the adult conference, the adult development conference in Denver, talking about tensegrity, right? An exotopic, right at the cusp, right? And so, again, we're talking about a new way of looking at biomechanics, a new way of looking at the body's physiology, a new way of understanding the way that our systems relate on a structural level, all right? So it's strange because the next week we had Ann Thompson on, and best line of the year. She's someone, a professional up in Canada, and the best line of the year, the show we did back on April 8th, was I asked her what the number one cause for mental illness was. There's a long pause, and she says, poverty. Now, in this economy, schizophrenia, things like that, all the behavior that we've seen in the last 6 or 8 months, a lot of it could be explained to the fact that we're living in a society that is featuring scarcity, that's featuring a lot of the elements of the old world. And here we have this other world, this new media that's the opposite, that has an abundance of information that just constantly, you don't have to figure out if it's real or not, but basically there's always more, and on the ground, always less. And this is where we are at this point in the wave, you know, right around the middle of April. And then we had Matthew Van Den Gusen on, another Canadian actually, talking about somatics, again, from a practitioner standpoint, and what happens within the body. Again, we go back to the phylo domain, we're back to interpersonal, relating to other people through our physical expression. So within the span of 3 weeks, we went from tensegrity, very exo, Ann Thompson's work with looking at mental illness as a curable thing through the mechanisms that she does dealing with poverty, dealing with mental illness as a function of a societal thing, not a personal thing, back to the group, and then Matthew back to the individual. And then we had old Frank Mosca on April 22nd, to really give us a perspective that would overarch all of it, because he talked about positive psychology, but from a perspective that was dynamic, from a perspective that was looking at things interactively. So now you're dealing with happiness, which we had I don't know if I did it last week, but they rated all the states. Of course, New York came in last as the most unhappy state in the country. But this idea that all of us are related on this one template, and then individually we interpret it and then share the messages, is starting to take root, and the guests reflect that. We had Scott Nichols on, another somatic practitioner at the end of April, who, again, we talked about the frustration, and I share it with him and a lot of the other guys on this list, of trying to get the somatic worldview out there, because psychology takes one hard stance and medicine takes another. And underneath, this is, again, we're building up to the healthcare debate that we're going to get into next week a little more. We have a couple of things to discuss the news of that before we finish tonight. But the seeds are being sown for this now. So that's what's growing. After we had the template of social media, after we got through the early part of the spring, what started to rise up was this oscillation between self and society, self and society. How is how I relate to myself reflective in the society? And then, bam, we get hit with Michael Jackson, you know, and you know, like I said, Farrah passing away. Those things are signature events, and TMZ took over at that point. It took over the complete control of the way messages were going to be judged, because they became the pace setters, not the mainstream media. Right there, baton was passed. And here we are, end of April, we're there. Now we get to May, all right, we have Denise Marion, right, from Organic Avenue. Again, another person working on the ground, and she's as flipping philo as they get. Very nice woman, and real. Very real. And this is when the swine flu began. And that's just as a way to just kind of signify that that's where I'm at in the dealio here. Let's see if I have my friend. I just like to play this. I'm bored. You guys are on call. Right around here in April, swine fear began. Go ahead, Aron.
Oh, son of a bitch, son of a bitch, son of a bitch, son of a bitch, gun. You thought I was going to say son of a bitch, didn't you?
That's right. So there we are. We're in the middle of April. Now we have another thing happening that is dealing with the same thing. Internet, spreading of the social media, pandemics, big organizations, you know, exo, you know, kind of faceless authorities looking down on us and judging us, and they're going to create policies. And it was scary because it was something that we could not influence, and the people began to panic. This is in the spring. All right, so I had Denise on talking about what to do, and she basically, I was like, how does it walk in your door there at Organic Gaming? She really doesn't come in here. She created a whole separate environment that was dealing with things from her perspective as a vegan and dealing with the pH diet of Dr. Young, who we had on later in June to discuss that. And this is a proactive way, again, this is another way, off the grid ways of getting messages out. And she did it through, we talked about before with Martha, by making community the key. And that's when I was really trying to create the cocoa. I was trying to create the cocoa for you bastards. Hang on a second. Fred has something to say about that. Let's see.
Don't overcook it. Overcook it's no good.
What are you doing? You're overcooking it. Bring it over.
What's
it? It's like a piece of charcoal. Bring it over here.
That's right. So, you know, I went to great lengths to get this message out about coherence, and I went on all these different things, and you guys just ignored it, and I might bring it back. I don't know. I'm frisbeeing things at the moon over here. 646, what the heck's the number? No, 478-4847. You want to participate? I've been talking to myself for 40 minutes, and I'm enjoying my conversation, to tell you the truth. So here we are in April. We've got revolution, damn it, going on in Iran. Twitter's being blacked out. People can't get the messages out. We got that woman that got killed in the streets over there, right? We got swine flu breaking out in Mexico. We've got all kinds of crap going on with the economy. People are really getting irritated. Now, again, you're dealing with the Philo perspective, which is all about protecting the status quo. And meanwhile, I told you, the exosomatic layer had already knocked the pins out. So this is when we had a lot of turbulence. And, you know, why not have a pandemic to celebrate the turbulence, right? So we had Denise on, then we had Steve Aronstein on, another Soma boy, who was discussing it from a standpoint, again, from the individual out, dealing with it as basic reflexes, dealing with it as something that you can actually influence yourself, that you didn't need the outside authority. You can do this from a first-person authority. So within the span of 2 or 3 weeks, as these things are happening, we went brain crazy. So we started going back deeper and deeper into the biology. So the next guest, or David Grant and Cynthia Schwartzberg, who talked about brain spotting. Now we're dealing with memory. Again, from the Philo perspective, it's all about the past. How are we going to deal with this huge tale, this past, and overcome it? And the brain becomes the portal, and how your brain associates visual events with kinesthetic experiences. And we got into brain spotting with those guys back on May 20th. Another great show. We're now in the middle of the spring, though. Okay? So I put up a flag, and I said, thank God for Rushkoff. Rushkoff comes in with his book, Life, Inc., and he says, you've all been tricked. It's all a trick. Everything that you've experienced up to this point is basically a mirror reflection of not what you think it is. People think it's all corporate America. They just got invented 2 minutes ago. No, it goes back to the Middle Ages. A millennium of stuff is changing. That's why the stuff we've gone through in 6 months took decades, took centuries to get to this level of unrest that the culture actually, you know, burped it up. So his book, like Life, Inc., talked about corporatism and all about the hollowness of personal branding and the empty feeling we get as individuals that have information, but we don't want to share it because nobody's going to reward us. They just exploit us. And what did we do, our little Philo selves, 7 out of 10 of us that have that brain wiring did? We followed the damn authority Pied Pipers right down into the mud, you know? And this is where, you know, Rushkoff gave us an opportunity with his book. But, again, just like Too Big to Fail and all the other crap that happened the second half of the year.
You filthy criminals.
They were waiting for us. And it was a turkey shoot. So Life, Inc. comes out, Rushkoff's book, Douglas Rushkoff's book. Go check it out. The book comes out, and he gives you the blueprint of how they screwed us. Now, Rushkoff happens to be an onto, so he had his message was a little pointy. And it was funny because he went on a bunch of shows, and the book really got, you know, it got out. But people still were in a state of shock. They didn't know how to react to all these changes that were going on. How do we deal with all these things happening at once? Things used to happen in a very linear way, very slow way. Well, technology made sure how things happened slowly back then because that was the programming, right? It was all about broadcasting. Was all about, basically instead of permission marketing where you opt in to get messages, it was all about, I'm just going to shout at you. Interruption marketing, to use Seth Godin's lingo. So we're transitioning to this interactive conversation, but our voice is so confused. Rushkoff gives us a map, says, hey, go back and check this out. You got to stop realizing that the stuff that they can't get from you is human. It has nothing to do with the technological stuff. Act more human. Be more community-based, like Martha's saying, like Heather's saying, like all these people are saying. Nobody's listening. I'm going, Coco, Coco, we got to get a coherence community going here. Understand the message. Keep it off the damn web where they're going to bastardize it. But we didn't listen. Nope. So now we're into late May, and you know, Rushkoff came right around the end of May, actually. And so now we're making a turn for home here. So now we're climbing to the top of this wave that's been building and percolating up for almost 5 months. And look at June, right? We had Alan and Marilyn Sargent on, right? Now they dealt, this is a couple of people here, that deal with the heart stuff, right? They deal with the heart connection. They do seminars that basically get you the heart gaze and look at someone's eyes and be able to experience another person and bond again. Again, philo. All right, now we're dealing with group and we're dealing with connection, we're dealing with intimacy, we're dealing with personal space, stuff that can't be converted to ones and zeros. Bing, next week we got Malilo and Skyer on there talking about their stuff, their achievement center, and all the stuff they're doing with their brain balance program that, again, emphasizes the role of development in biology as the template to develop a healthy human being as an adult. So by going through this philo-ness and going back to the origins and looking at developmental stuff, we're sort of developing old film. We're sort of looking at all the photomat stuff that we didn't really look back at to make sure that we keep the human in the center of the circle, not the technology. And we're being tugged all over the map to do it. All right, so here we are now. We're mid to late June, and we had Sung Lee on, very controversial guest. Oh, fuck, I got emails from this guy all over this place. You know, oh, this and that. We got cultural stuff. And his stuff dealt mostly with rhythm and vibration. And again, dealing with the brain as a biological prism, prism, that is channeling consciousness and dealing with things that are nature-based. Nature, how nature boy can you get? Well, I topped it. The next week, we had Dr. Young on talking about there's only two types of blood, as he said. Not Diadamo's work with blood type. There's only two types of blood, healthy and sick. And basically, if you're acidic, your body's inflamed, and your body's going to age quicker. It's going to wear out. It's going to develop an environment for disease. And if your body is able to alkalize itself, these things don't take root. Again, giving you the basic principles that you can conduct yourself with independent of this noisy, turbulent, very fractured culture. And that's where we park it at the middle point of the year. So all those guests I just listed. I can't even go back and count them anymore, but there's a ton of them that went back and forth between individual and group, between web-based and community-based, all over the map. And now my friend is vacuuming, so I got to deal with a little technological thing. Feliz Navidad. So, you know, I hope you guys understand. I'm looking at my list of guests and what happened in the culture as mirror reflections of each other. Why I book people there, you look back and you see this is what the wave was doing, this is what the culture was reflecting. That's what Soma Time was supposed to be. It was supposed to be a way to iconicize or a way to summarize or a way to kind of capture the mood and the flow of the culture. And I didn't do that consciously. It just, you look at it back and you go, wow, there's something bigger than this, something larger than my awareness that is contracting SAPE 1 from SAPE 2. And they plug it, and you see the mosaic of it at the end of the year. You go, look what I just did here. Look what happened here. And again, I want more participation, I want more interaction with you guys. I can't, you know, force it, but I want you guys to understand that this is what I'm trying to get at. There's a subtle and very powerful organization that goes on within all these layers that I'm talking about. And so we get to the midpoint of the year, and you look at how the events that transpired from April to June traveled on the template that developed between January and March. If you don't have Twitter and Facebook and TMZ rising up and giving these messages new ways to broadcast themselves, the things that happened between April and June wouldn't have been as powerful, wouldn't have impacted as many people. All right? It's just a simple way of looking at how A and B connected here. And that's how the exosomatic layer, which gives new structure, which gives utopian visions of things, and upgrades the culture and uproots a lot of the status quo. And the philosomatic, the status quo, the masses, everybody under the bell curve, the people-based, type of humans that are into relationships and into family and into tradition, how they absorb these changes. There was a tremendous amount of resistance. We had all those pressures on us, and this is what we ended up with at the midpoint of the year. So, you know, those are my basic impressions of what happened. And let's see if I even got anybody up here yet. Anybody calling? No. So, you know, I just we might hear from Martha. I doubt it, but I just wanted to make sure that I didn't miss anything. See if anybody's in the chat room hanging out before I kind of close up shop here. Yeah. So anyway, you know, I don't know what to say, but that's been what the heck is this now? Professor Val is chiming in. See if I can get her to call in. Say hi to me. Again, here's an example of social media. I'm exhausted. So just to give you an idea, that's where I want to leave you, because if you look and go back and learn the domains, just learn the domains from a standpoint of cycles and seasons. Winter is exo, spring is philo. Look at the difference between the way the winter season causes you to go introspective, causes you to restructure, causes you to go basically to your core. And then philo, you go vernal, you come out, there's a renewal, there's a rebirth, there's new growth, new ideas start to propagate, things start to go, you know, more into a more organic kind of situation, and there's a percolation that goes on. We get to the summer, bang, now things start to peak. They get ripe, and then in the fall, you know, everything comes to the ground again, where we get, everything starts to drop back, and we emotionally absorb all the events of the year. And that's basically what happens through the course of a whole four seasons. It happens through the course of one 24-hour day. It happens through the course of one, lunar cycle. And understanding how all that breaks down, even within the course of an hour or just 4 seconds of interacting with somebody, these four freaking domains are everywhere. So see if I can get Professor Val to call in and say hi to you guys, and we'll close up shop early here, close to 10, and I'll try and get some work done, and you guys can go about your business. I want to make sure everyone has an understanding. I want to give you a little Christmas coherence message, too, to get you through the weekend before we sign off. But just to kind of, you know, look back at those first half of the year shows, and again, I encourage everybody to go back and listen to everything that we did. If you go back and look at when we did the show and who we did the show with and what the message was about, where were they directing your attention? What domain were they coming from? What domain were they trying to point to? If you start noticing that, the show becomes much more deep and much more rich. See if I can find that article quick about here's Michael Jackson, first of all. The FBI released files collected over the past 17 years on Michael Jackson on Tuesday. Most of them from the Federal Agency of Support and the California Investigation of the Child Molestation Charges. Journalists began scouring 333 heavily redacted pages published by the FBI's website. The FBI noted that Jackson was acquitted of all charges, said the case files were made public after the Freedom of Information Act request filed after his death. June 25th, L.A. police, who were investigating this thing, called the FBI's office back in 1993 and upgraded to a federal violation, and a whole bunch of garbage comes out in the wash here, but basically the FBI is looking at this stuff, and wow, there's just a lot of lines in here. This thing goes on forever. And basically the case was closed back in 2004. There's a lot of stuff here. There was no intelligence indicating a threat of a terrorist act targeting this event, which was his trial back in 2004, which is a total circus. So, again, this is what, 5-6 months after this man passed away and was still exhuming data, because the system isn't about people. The system is about information. And that's why we can't stop interpreting, we can't stop digging through different things, because we by having the internet be this this intelligent, this self-aware, this organized, there's going to constantly be a reentry to this, and they're going to keep looking at stuff, they're going to keep finding things too. So look at that, Susan Sarandon and Tim Robbins split up. I can't take it anymore, man. No Ranger games for them. All right, just real quick on this Avatar thing with the hidden messages. I wanted to get that out, too. Let's see. Oh, wait, she's calling. Okay, hang on. Damn it. All right. Let's see if I can find something appropriate. There we go.
Back up. Bad liver and a broken heart.
Okay, from our air desk in Never Never Land.
That's right.
Yeah, Professor Val chiming in to put a bookend on the year. You were still doing shows at the beginning of the year. Now you're basically, well, you're on vacation now. So.
I've been on vacation mentally for a while now.
Well, in the job you're in, that's sort of required.
Oh yes.
Mm. I'm going for the sabbatical. I'm upgrading my vacation. Hell
yeah, I like that.
Yeah. Well, anyone that could talk to themselves, you know, and enjoy for an hour by themselves, I think needs to go on a sabbatical. Can't stand these people. So, you know, I don't know if you heard any of the show. Probably not. But basically just...
I heard a little.
You, yeah, well, me too. From your perspective, going backwards, going from January to June, when you were transitioning yourself, you know, from, you know, whatever you were doing in June and January to what you're doing now.
Yeah.
There was, if you felt it, if you felt the impact of social media and all the things that happened that basically, you know, because what was Facebook to you a year ago was the thing that other people did and it took over.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. You know what Facebook is great for is I'm hooking up with all these cousins that I don't know. And we're actually having, like, conversations and... We have relatives in common that I actually do know. It's kind of wild.
Well, it's now gotten to the point, like I said before, once the exos knock the files out of the box, the culture has to reset itself. And, you know, look at this crap they're digging up on Michael Jackson 6 months later.
I know.
The web basically now is like those sentinels in the Matrix. They just keep digging and digging and digging. They never stop.
Yep.
And, you know, that's why we know... I mean, how many people broke up in the last month, couples, celebrity couples? I just saw Tim Robbins and Susan Sarandon broke up.
Yeah, I heard about that today.
What's up with that? What happened?
I don't know.
They were together forever.
Yeah.
And I see, now I got to know. Now I got to know.
See, I don't care.
Oh, I'm into all this stuff. I was at Reese Witherspoon and the other one broke up. And.
Oh, Rick likes Reese. Yeah.
What's not to like?
Yeah.
After more than two decades together,
me.
23 years they were partners. I love that word, partners.
Mm-hmm.
Separated over the summer. Oof-a. Have you found out about it now? Two are known for their liberal points of view. They have two sons. Wow. Serena's got three with the other marriage. She's 63 years old. He's 51.
Really?
Yeah. How about that? I love him, the eco. 2004, she gushed. He's a guy's guy. He's only 12 years younger than me. I won't marry him because I'm too afraid of taking him for granted.
Alrighty then.
Huh?
I said alrighty then.
Yeah, well, I was just saying, this is the deal. Now, did you see this crazy Avatar movie yet?
No, but I heard it was really intense.
Now this is the Shrinkatology 101 here. Now they now have hidden messages in the movie. So people
can
be dressing up like these with these flat-nosed blue people now. Right, because this is the story set in the year 2154, which is about when I'll pay back my school loan.
That's quite ambitious of you.
maybe a couple 5-6 years before or after, when the Earth's inhabitants, having used up their natural resources through decades of living in excess, and they go to this moon Pandora, Pandora's box. I mean, you can't get. I mean, come on, man. The Earthlings send in a crew of special force mercenaries. There were so many goofy movies. Star Trek was like that. The G.I. Joe movie was like that. We're set up with this planet.
Rotten Tomatoes there gave that thumbs up, that movie.
Yeah, everyone likes it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a flat-out green anti-war message, Roger Ebert says, right?
Yep.
Some other dude says it contains heavy implicit criticism of America's conduct in the war on terror. So it's an anti-Bush movie. Tremendous. The blue people that like Bush. You know, and basically, painting us as ugly Americans, which is not too difficult to do these days.
No. It's just an observation.
Yeah, I just like the name Avatar. Because that's something that always, you know, there's a whole psychology with these Avatar people. You know about them with the whole...
Yep.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, there's a whole other tribe. Conservatives have more or less primed themselves to hate this movie because of the presumed anti-war politics in the movie.
brother.
But it's not as bad as you might think. The pristine world. You see, now this is a Jungian question for you. Jung got into the archetypes. He got into a little of the woo quantum physics stuff late in his deal.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody since him, to my knowledge, and because these psychology guys can make up a theory, but you know they can have the banana theory done in 5 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
No one has done enough in the psychology since him to really like basically take his work and either riff on it or override it. I mean, it was a leapfrog. Jung over Freud, and then nobody leapfrogged Jung. I mean, what's happened in the last 60 years in psychology that has anything to do with anything with reality? You're one of the biggest critics of it. Why can we not get past Jung's work? We just didn't absorb it, or we just
ignored it? Well, you know what? I think it was too far out for most people, you know, and then with the
I mean, Jung was
symbolism,
too ego?
Yes, and the symbolism and stuff, then you had Joseph Campbell coming in.
Okay, I can give him a qualifier that he might be the success,
yeah.
You know, the successor. But no, Joseph Campbell stuff. He's a storyteller. So
hey,
we're back.
By the way, did you know where Joseph Campbell was born?
No.
How about White Plains?
Really?
Yeah.
That explains it.
Yeah. White Plains, New York. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, that in 10 cents will get you over to Finn McCool's.
But the smart man that he was, he died in Hawaii. He got his.
Okay, right.
He got himself.
Better than the other way around. Born in Hawaii, die in White Plains. Well, that's what they say. Obama was born, so who knows?
Yeah.
You know, watch him coming through. So, any thoughts closing the year? Healthcare or anything?
Oh, I don't know. I don't know what we're in for. They just they have to do something because everything's a mess, and for having such a supposedly fabulous country. We have some of the worst health care ever.
Well, New York State got the hose with this, you know. We're going to be closing all kinds of clinics and we actually lose out in this bill that's being promoted here.
Mm-hmm.
Chuck Schumer sleeping on the job. Chuck Schumer. I can't take anything to do with New York State anymore. Everything about it it's almost like it's like pepper when you're going to sneeze. It just makes it worse.
I know. We live in a really insane world. There's no place we can go to try to calm ourselves down and grab some sanity back. Every time you turn around, it's something else that's insane.
Sanity.
Sanity. What's that?
I don't know.
I don't know either.
Come on, play.
What are you trying to play?
Well, if it would play, then I wouldn't tell you.
What the fuck was he talking about?
There you go. Little Elvis for you. So, seven fishes tomorrow for you?
Yeah, we're going to have quite a few. And my mother made her lasagna with the homemade noodles. So thin. Oh, I cannot wait. That's all I'm thinking about. Like, lots of presents under the tree. I just want the lasagna.
That's why I played the charcoal clip before.
Oh, yes.
that's all any Italian thinks about the entire Christmas week is screw the relatives. They just want to eat.
It's the food. I mean, we're having shrimp cocktail, and we're having the scarol soup, and, of course, we have to have the squid. I can't even look at tentacles. I don't get it, but we'll have that.
I'm spared all that because I'm done with the three-generation Italian meals.
No,
I'm
we
just
do
down
that.
To one generation, and so I get to pick what I want to eat. We do get
Fyro,
but we do get the Pellegrino veal. So that's I think there's 7 pounds of veal cutlet that they brought up. So
yeah, see, I don't do the veal.
Oh, the best.
I know you love veal.
Kill the cow. Oh yeah, I watched that Fast Food Nation the other day. I'm like, kill that cow, make a cutlet. I couldn't care less.
He's such an ass.
Oh, you ever seen that movie?
I don't think so.
Oh,
we saw the other movie,
God,
right?
God awful Fast Food Nation. What?
We saw the other movie.
What?
I'm trying to think of which one we saw. God, it was so long ago, I don't remember, but no, it wasn't
one. The Sicko?
Oh, that.
Michael Moore?
That just twisted my colon
His movie this year, the Capitalist movie, was worse.
Really?
Yeah, have you ever seen that?
No, they give you odds of
the two? No, I couldn't get out of the chair. Yeah, Capitalism, a Love Story? Yeah. I'm going to talk about that next week because I go through the ego phase with him.
Oh, that's a good idea.
Yeah, well, this is the whole deal. I did the Exo and Philo's tonight. To get us to June, to get us to Michael Jackson's dirt nap and all the freaking Philo's, piling outside the hospital and
yes.
And TMZ taking over the entire universe. You know, they come out with TMZ Sports now.
Are they really? Why
yeah.
don't they knock it off?
Because of Tiger Woods. There's gold in them there hills. We can get bimbos in Vegas to talk about Tiger.
You know, why don't they just leave him alone? Let him and his
well,
wife.
Leave him
back.
Alone? They haven't begun to pick through his bones. Are you kidding me?
Oh, let him be.
That guy will not hang a hose on a wall in the rest of his life without
no.
somebody reporting it.
That's true.
Tiger Woods just peed on the
floor. That an exo like that, such a technologically you know centered guy, would get himself screwed over that way and caught. I mean, what the?
Because he thought he was you know.
Did he have a little Onto in him there? Is that what it
no,
was?
No, no, no. He just did, he again. They don't have much of an introspective quality to them.
King Kong ain't got shit on me.
That's right.
King Kong ain't got shit on me.
Oh,
as the entire freaking the switchboard goes bazooey here, but yeah, that was his problem. He just thought he was untouchable. He thought he was insulated. I think actually there was a little bit of a dime dropped on him because he's the hood ornament of the whole nation of Dubai. And when Dubai's economy went El Foldo, and they thought they weren't going to build up Dubai land, the first thing that happened was was all the stuff that came out after the first woman in New York that was outed. And then he gets, then he's running from his aunt to wife down the street with the golf club, in the car.
Yeah.
So I think a lot of the stuff
that
came out.
That was a big surprise, huh?
I could do a seminar on the believe me.
Real.
It's a frying pan.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah. Yeah, that was, I'll just play this for you while you're here.
All right.
This is a classic. This is one of our final shows together.
All right, that's it. He's fired.
Yeah.
Can I talk to you, Val?
No,
yeah,
okay. Please.
I'm back.
My little bout of swine flu. Back in the spring. But yeah, that whole deal, I think a lot of the stuff that came out after the initial story that he only had the one woman, when he had like 15 or whatever it was, and he was like a madam, was like booking him for like, round-the-clock chicks, was stemming from he had enemies that were, kind of like, storm in the castle after the Dubai thing started to go foobar. And then, basically as soon as he went quiet and dropped out of sight, they sort of repaired that a little bit, and they're going to go ahead and build this Dubai land with Tiger Woods, y'all. And some of his sponsors left. And, the thing is, like I was saying before, we've all become sort of image conscious and brand conscious, and that's what he was the leader of. He was right there with Oprah.
Yeah. Well, Oprah?
Nike's paying for his divorce.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's nice to have friends like that.
Yeah.
Get me a sneaker deal. Hello. Bartender. Yeah. But that whole McGilla there, everything that came out of that was, it was almost like you had like icon gridlock, because did he ever actually, he talked to Oprah about doing a show, but he never actually did one, right? Like Sarah Palin.
I don't know. You know what? I absolutely turned a deaf ear to anything that comes out of that big-headed woman's mouth. Friggin' Onto piece of crap.
Well, she decided to quit and say goodbye for 18 months.
Yeah, bye-bye.
This is too much.
Yeah.
Maybe we should get this guy on the show.
And on really romantic evenings of self, I go salsa dancing with my confusion.
There you go. So, yeah, all right. So, have a good, Christmas weekend or whatever. Jorge's in town and starting his Christmas cheer. Oh, yeah. My dad, boots on the ground in Manhattan. He was, just totally annoyed about just about everything when I talked to him before. But maybe I'll get him on the show next week to sum up the year.
That would be rather good.
Tremendous. A little, I have my mom on the show on her birthday. Maybe I have my dad on the show after my birthday.
I think that's a good idea. I think I will tune in to hear Jorge.
Merry Christmas. Yeah, it's like, I can use this as his theme song. It's a little riff here. A little EXO music for him. God, this damn thing just keeps blinking. You going to play, you bastard? Come.
Probably not.
No. Hey, oh. I think it's going to play. There we go. That's right. My dad would enjoy this as an intro. Yeah.
Yeah, that's a good one.
Yeah, we'll see. But anyway, like I said, I just wanted to get that your deal on some of the things that happened, because without having you around to keep me focused, the show just strays into Never Never Land in like 5 minutes. So.
Well, I had no plants to water, so.
That's right. Well, you know what? I got those stinking globe things, you know?
I did, too. That's why I don't have to do it.
They're the best. This is like the eco shortcut.
They are so awesome. Rick bought them for me. Those things
are
the best.
I was literally, like, making, like, dog yelping sounds in the store when I saw them. And, oh, those bulb things. Pretty soon I'll be planting tomatoes upside down.
That's next. You know, that topsy-turvy thing, I was looking at it. I was like,
Yeah. I was looking, actually, what I was looking at was the chop thing from Vince. You gotta love my nuts, that guy. Yeah, he got
any help chopping your nuts.
Yeah, chopping your nuts. Yeah, life's too sad. You gotta cry no more. That's the best commercial ever. I gotta actually find that for next week's show. But he actually got in trouble with, he was biting some hua in New Orleans, right?
Yes.
It was some situation where some prostitute was, accosting him and then bit his tongue or something.
Yeah, that was not good.
Yeah, well, we could all read TMZ and, you know, basically every skeleton in every closet is out. So
yeah,
I just wanted to look at the carnage here. A-Rod broke up with Kate Hudson.
Mm-hmm.
Now we got Susan Sarandon breaking up with Tim Robbins. We got Reese Witherspoon broke up with whoever. I mean, and has Tiger officially, you know, he's still in limbo, right?
That, yeah, I'm not too sure about that. But, you know, the most common time for people to break up is
now?
Christmas to, I think,
Valentine's Day.
Yeah. That's and especially the celebrities. Yeah.
Is that a fiscal thing? Is that just the end of the year?
Well, I think they usually it's that they'll stay together through the holidays and then they want to get out of it before Valentine's Day, because that can be really an uncomfortable time for people who hate each other and are still together. Their very own little gauntlet.
Right. There you go. We have to think about that.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess I have to, you know, obey the Elvis rules here.
Mm-hmm. But I do think it's starting a little earlier than usual.
Yeah, they're dropping like flies, like I said. And they're not even, like, offering much of an explanation. Because Kate Hudson was, like, a fixture at every Yankee game. And she did some play in England. He was, like, not kissing her ass. And that was it. Goodbye.
Yeah. By the way, you know, our New Year's Eve is also a blue moon.
Yeah, I heard today there was a bunch of stuff. It's a new moon. It's an onto moon, by the way. So
it's
there you got that going for you.
It's a blue moon. Yep.
Yeah, and there's another thing about it. I don't know. Is that when Mercury goes retrograde, or is that right after?
Oh,
that?
That's that. You know what? I'm not sure, but
I don't know. Someone was telling me. I was looking at it last night with Drop Dead Fred. I think it's over here in the inner realm. That basically it was like a trifecta of crap.
There's a lot of crap going on. Yeah.
There always is. But I mean, this is like, you know.
I don't want the retrograde stuff, because I'm getting some fun stuff for Christmas. I don't need it to be all broken.
When does that start?
I'm looking. Let's see.
Retrograde. Jupiter goes direct. October
December 26th to January 15th? No, is it?
Is that right?
Oh, that's not good at all.
No.
So there's going to be a Mercury retrograde? No.
Yeah, Mercury's going retrograde on the 26th. Tide goes out.
Right. With the blue moon. Oh,
right.
You know what? Everybody should just stay
home. Run for your freaking lives.
Stay home on New Year's Eve, whatever you do.
And there's something going on, like, so we got Mercury goes retrograde day after Christmas, right?
Yep.
We're right in the middle of the Onto wave. Right? So we've got that going on. We've got there's a whole bunch of crap here. Yeah, retrogrades, yeah.
The Alpha Astrologer gave us hell, too.
Yeah, I saw that. Yeah. What's new over there? Actually, I'm going to go through that before the end of the show here. But so let's see. Full moon, blue moon, and a lunar eclipse. There you go.
Yeah.
That was the trifecta. So we
and
got
then,
a lunar eclipse, it's a blue moon, a full moon, an onto moon, all during a retrograde.
And Jupiter does something with Neptune that does something vile for the next 14 years of I don't know what.
And the dish ran away with the spoon. I know, the whole deal. But that's enough. I mean, that's a, See, there's enough going on the earth that when I hear this much is going on cosmologically, it basically you just say, bend over, and you just you wait
right.
for it to stop.
That's right. Bring your own lube.
Well, good thing where he goes, and we expect it.
Yep.
Not a shock.
Nope, not at all. Not at all.
Let's see if I got... Yeah, here it is. This is, and so basically, what I say to the cosmos is this. It's a little weird.
I want you to fucking lay me out. Go ahead.
I haven't heard that in a while. I love that.
I hear it in my head every 5 minutes. Usually between 7 and 8 o'clock every morning. Lay me out. I got to hear that again, actually. That was actually really refreshing. If you can imagine, every 2 seconds, the thing is like flipping and resetting on me before I get to the stupid thing.
I know.
It's the best.
It has not
you
been
to fucking
real.
Lay me out. Go ahead.
There you go.
That noise is the best.
That noise is my whole life.
You know, there was a movie. It was Phantasm. The original Phantasm, it was like 1973. It was a serious movie and scary and all that. There was one scene where a guy gets clobbered with, I guess it was a hammer or something, and it made that kind of a noise. And I just can't contain myself when I hear it. It brings me right back to that scene. Serious movie, everybody's freaking out. I'm laughing my ass off because of the sound effect.
I mean, I think those sound effects should be in everyday life. I mean, if you think about it.
I think they are.
Well, you have to just listen, I guess. But yeah, it's I don't know. So another 45, 50 freaking shows have come and gone. So we'll see what happens next. But it sounds like we got some nasty weather coming on.
Yes. Yes, indeed.
Hmm. So I wish you well. Hopefully, you come out on the other side. Spit clean.
Yes, that would be nice.
And into 2010, a new decade of crap.
Mm-hmm.
As we get back on the roller coaster of the damn. Could you imagine Y2K is 10 years ago?
Yeah, that whole another big farce.
Yeah, we were basically in the fetal position waiting for the world as we know it to end with a date on it. And it's going to end right here, right now. And,
now we'll go into
nothing.
The 2012 BS.
But yeah, we got a couple more years of that. But the thing is, we did get hit with the 9/11 a little after the 2012. I mean, after the 2012, after the Y2K bug. So we did get hit with a little bit.
Yes.
But I'm sure something cool is going to happen soon. I haven't even touched on the pneumonic plague today. I got off that topic because I'm dealing with Dirt Nap Jackson over there.
Oh yes.
Yeah. But anyway, thanks for popping in, and you're welcome anytime you're awake. And
thank you. Yes, it's not very common, but I have been off for the last few days, so I am awake.
Yeah, well, and you're back the 30th, you said?
Yep, back to work the 30th, and then 2 days, and then a 3-day weekend. I thought that would be a good time to go back.
Wait, you go back on the Wednesday, then you're off Thursday and Friday?
I'm there Wednesday and Thursday. I'm off then. Friday, Saturday, Sunday.
New Year's Eve, you're going to be working? Wow.
Oh, yes. I have meetings.
Meetings.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, I have meetings, too. Meetings attended by one person with a checkbook. Mm. I have to meet with the angry man next week.
Mm-hmm.
Talk about the count the money from meaning of life. That's D-Monet.
Nice.
I'll get one of those pizza checks, rat bastard. All right, Val, thanks for joining us. Hopefully somehow we'll get the message of the Soma out to someone someday.
I really wish, because it's so useful. It's so much more than like labels. I was talking to Gina before about stuff, and I'm like, well, she's doing that philo blah blah blah, and I actually will use it. Say, don't forget that some of this behavior is typically philo-ish. And she's, oh, yeah. We go back and forth all the time. It's so helpful in understanding where behaviors come from, what's driving them.
Yeah, and again, by knowing where someone is looking at things, you can actually understand why they would act a certain way or have that perspective, because that's usually not something that they're aware of.
Yep.
And it gives you a way to separate the behavior from the person, which most people don't do.
That's right.
Then they give you a nice medication.
That's don't get me started.
Well, hello. I mean, that's what that's, and then you know, the healthcare system makes sure that there's a drug for every symptom and every reaction. So.
That's right. That's right. And then for all the side effects that you get from the medication.
Yeah, because everyone mixes them with other things, and off we go.
And you get the cocktail until your intestines knot themselves.
And you just scream bartender.
That's
right. Or a shrinkatologist or whatever. Actually, Jonas isn't here tonight. I'm spared that glory.
Oh, yeah? Well,
healthy coffee. Healthy coffee.
Fungus coffee. No, thank you.
Oh, my God. All right, take it easy.
Have a lovely.
See you sometime.
Yeah, I'll see you probably in 5 minutes. Bye.
Goodbye. All right, Professor Val, sidling by. So, you know, we're about 10:20 here. I kind of went to the normal time here, but I just wanted to get a couple things finished up to kind of close up ship for the night here. Citigroup repays $20 billion. How about them? Healthcare bill clears the last Senate hurdle. So, feeding forward. Between now and the next show, we're probably going to have our little meetup with NSM Doc from Sacromaniac.com, and that will... happen as soon as I know, and you'll know as soon as I know. I don't know when it's going to be. Maybe Saturday night, maybe Monday night, my birthday night. I don't know. So, the Democrats pushed the legislation through, crushing a year-end Republican filibuster, 60-39 vote. Third time as many days Democrats have posted a super majority needed to advance the legislation. Final passage set for about dawn on Thursday was a certainty and will clear the way for talks with the House on a final compromise. Negotiations will stretch into February. And as we just saw, there's your next template, right? This is what's going to be coming up. So I just wanted to get to some of the stuff on Christmas as we wind down here. See if I can find my friend from before. Here he is. Because a lot of the stuff that comes up with these holidays, we just talked about some of the woo stuff that's out there. Is that, we don't realize the symbolic and the difference between the symbolic message and the literal experience of the holidays. So this is from Alpha Astrologer Richard Rowe, who it's sort of like the blog we love to hate. This is the email I love to hate. Get it once a week. Gives out some just eco la-la maps of all different directions. So I'm going to read the highlights here. Past Monday was the winter solstice, right? First day of winter. Sun enters in the sign of Capricorn. Sign of Capricorn personifies the characteristics of deprivation. The characteristics of deprivation, leading to a need for discipline and responsibility to help survive the cold, bleak, barren reality of the winter season. Join us. The deprivation was most felt in ancient times, before the invention of lamps and electricity, by the fact that it's the shortest day and longest night of the year. After all, the sun brings light to see by, heat to warm us up, and energy to make the plants grow. Okay, very exo, right? No light, darkness, cold. This basically makes the sun the giver and sustainer of life, so it is no wonder the sun was considered by primitive man to be God. The interesting thing, this is all Richard Rowe's words here. The interesting thing is that modern quantum astrophysics confirms this is true because the energy of sunlight is believed to create all matter. This energy is also stored in plants and converted into energy, yada, yada, okay? So he brings it up. Because these rituals we use around this time are the evergreen trees, which become your Christmas trees. Right? And he says, thousands of years later, mankind still feels this primordial fear of loss of the sun and its life-giving energy. We respond unconsciously with depression, lack of energy, a psychological catharsis of deep, hidden fears. Early Christians adopted the ritual on the solstice and substituted Jesus for the spirit of the tree, saying that he was born to bring the light to mankind and lead us away from the darkness of fear and ignorance. This holiday, as you know, became Christmas, the supposed birth of Jesus Christ. Legend tells us that Jesus was born in Bethlehem while his parents were there for the important holidays to be counted and the census and taxation. The most important holiday in Jewish religion was and is Rosh Hashanah, the first day of the new year, and Yom Kippur, the high day of atonement, which is about the 10th day of the new year. Both of these days take place every year under the sign of Virgo. This becomes interesting because it is said that Jesus was born a virgin, born to a virgin. And Virgo means virgin, suggesting that this was really meant that he was born to the time of the celestial virgin or Virgo. Christ's birth also introduced a 2,000-year cycle known as the age of Pisces, which happens to be the opposite, common to the sign of Virgo. Getting very woo here. All right, so skipping forward here. We get through Monday the 21st, right? Winter solstice, Jupiter conjuncts Neptune for the third and last time. It won't happen again for 14 years, making this very important. Jupiter is the planet of growth, independence, spiritual wisdom, and Neptune is the planet of compassion, imagination, and spiritual wisdom. And both are in Aquarius, the sign of revolution and innovation. This points to a massive growth of compassion and change to help the common man. Luckily, Venus will trigone Neptune, bringing the acceptance and cooperation of this change, and the Sun in Capricorn will make this change concrete and bound to the Earth by being practical and structurally sound. The ingress chart of winter shows the Sun conjuncts Pluto in the ninth house. And this is indicative of a change in government and law. Mercury in Capricorn, oh my God, you can go on and on and on. Anyway, all this crap keeps going on until about the 15th, and then we'll be talking about more of this stuff next show, because we got to prepare you for next year. But anyway, if you want to get more about it, you just go look up Richard Rowe, or pop an email at alphaastrology@aol.com. There, I gave him a pop. So that's enough of that. There's a lot of woo stuff going on, is what I'm trying to say. So I'm going to play us out here with a little Sam I Am, and on his take on what happened to Eco Jesus. And we'll see you guys next week for our final reflections on 2009 as we hurtle into the through the freaking darkness as we get close to onto New Year's Eve, blue moon and lunar eclipse and all that crap. People go, absolutely.
Oh, Jesus had it tough. People took advantage of him. They found out he could do miracles and do wonders, you know. So he'd be like healing the blind and healing lepers and shit. 5,000 people would show up with no fucking food. They weren't sick. They didn't need a healing. They were too fucking lazy to make a fucking sandwich for the day. I know. Let's let Jesus get it. He's trying to preach. He's trying to share all this information. They go, what? What, 5,000 of you not want to be brought a sandwich? Come on, I guess you expect me to get it, huh? That's no pressure. I'll just fucking create food out of the fucking air.
Well, you said you were son of God.
You know, he's like, I don't think you're getting the fucking point here, you fucking jerks. I didn't come to be Jesus, the miracle caterer. Tough gig. He had a fucking tough gig. They could have taken him off the cross. He could have went up to Greece where they respected teachers, where they enshrined philosophers. He could have been one of the great world masters, but no! He had to stay in Jerusalem.
All right, guys. I will see you guys next week again, and we will partake of the second half of 2009, more reflections and information. If you want more of me, you can go to somerspace.org. If you have a specific question, you can always get me at nakedsoma@gmail.com. That's nakedsoma@gmail.com. And now, a little mistletoe song to play us out, a little funkophilia, as we go to the wilds of Minnesota for a little pop culture. See you next week, everybody. Travel light. Through the darkness, and I mean darkness. Everybody funk it out. Merry Christmas, baby. Merry Christmas!